Thank you for listening to the Maranatha Fellowship podcast. We hope this message will inspire, challenge, and encourage you to grow closer to Christ. If you're in the Anchorage area, we invite you to be our guest during our morning Sunday worship service at 11 a.m. For directions, or if you would like more information about us, please visit akmaranatha.com.
Many years, and they are missionaries that we support as a church. And when you say to what country, just you can almost pick one. There's a variety of countries that they minister in. And the thing that I really appreciate about Kelly and Lenora is they've got a great sense of humor. But when it comes to the things of God, they take that very seriously. And we've never been disappointed when Kelly has come to preach. He's always brought the word of God, and the presence of God has shown up in a powerful way. And so tonight we're going to get an opportunity to hear what God's doing around the world, and so I hope you'll be encouraged by that. You know, when you watch the news, a lot of news is bad news, but that's not the only news that's out there. There's good news. God's doing some good things, and you'll get a chance to hear that. And also, we're going to be challenged by his word, and we're going to have an opportunity to pray tonight as well for one another and receive from the Lord. And so let's just open our hearts in preparation for what God wants to do. And students, we're glad you're with us. Kelly, would you come? Oh, yes.
Just wanted to say hi to you all. It's so good to be back here. It's been a busy year. We started out in, we weren't here last year. We haven't been here for 2 years, but this past year we've been in Bulgaria and India, Mexico, South Africa, and now back here, Ecuador. I missed Ecuador. All right, Canada. But anyway, just wanted to say hi and just tell you how excited I am about everything that's happening here. Wow, the construction, the parking lot, your vision, your faith that you have to see God do big things. And I just wanted to reinforce to you that it isn't a small thing what you've done, and you have trusted God for something huge, and he is being faithful, as you can see. You can't do something this big and have this big of a vision if you don't trust God. And I can see that you have. God is trustworthy for something like this, as you've seen, and I'm just encouraged. I'm encouraged in my faith by seeing it, and I wanted to say to you that he is faithful, and you are going to see it completed in big ways. Amen. So good to be here. God bless you.
Yeah, I want to echo what Lenora said. Every time, we've been coming here 24 years, and every time we come, we see progress spiritually. Sometimes a physical progress in a building can be an indicator of spiritual progress, but the spiritual progress is, you know, you're not always in the middle of a project, but we always recognize the presence of God in this place. We've been here many times on Sunday. We've been here a handful of times on Wednesday, but thank you for coming out to hear us. We're really here not primarily for you to hear us. We're here to bless you. A couple weeks ago, I was just thinking about tonight and felt like God spoke real clearly to me, said, I just want to bless my people, and I want to show them my love, and I want to heal them. I want to touch them in prayer. And so that has been in my heart for the last couple of weeks, that God just loves you and wants to bless you, wants to do something in your life tonight that you might remember for the rest of your life. We have a big God. My expectation is never based on how many people show up for a meeting. And I've mentioned this in the past. Pastor Luke will remember. But the very first time I was here speaking, there were 8 people here. And it was, I think it was a midweek. It might have been a Sunday, but I think it was a midweek with 8 people. And it was, I still remember the presence of God and the way God moved in that meeting. So there's something special about this place and something very special about all of you. So I just want to tell you in advance, I'm going to share a little bit from the scripture and a couple stories of some of what we've seen this year. But I want to tell you in advance that at the end, when I finish sharing the word, we want to give opportunity. Actually, I'll put it a different way. We want to pray for all of you. And we won't force anybody to be prayed for. But anybody that has anything wrong physically, I believe God's going to touch you tonight. This has been in my heart for a couple weeks. And so if you're wrestling with something physically, I want to encourage your faith to expect that God is going to meet you. And I have some great friends. We have some great friends that came with us from Palmer, that we've known them for some years. And so I said, hey, you guys have great faith, and come and help us to pray. At this stage of the journey, my voice doesn't usually hold out to pray for a whole lot of people, but now I've got some wonderful friends to join us and pray for you. Pastor Chris and Lori were pastors of the Palmer campus of Church on the Rock for how many years? 18 years? 17 years? Amazing, amazing people. And then their amazing friends and members of that church, Robert and Tina Kennerson. But these folks have all walked with God for a very long time, and they have seen and experienced the power of God. So if you need anything from the Lord this evening, don't be shy. I think when I'm done, I'm just going to ask everybody that wants to come up, and we're going to pray for you person by person, and God is going to meet you. So let's just pray for that, and then I'm going to share. Father, I thank you that you're going to meet us. You're here. Your presence is here, and I have an excitement in my spirit about your people and about what you want to say to them and what you want to do for them. So I just thank you, Holy Spirit, for allowing the love of God to fill this room, and the kindness of God, the power of God to fill this room and to touch every one of us in a way that we will remember all of our lives. I thank you that the young people have come in tonight from their usual meeting, and I pray a special blessing for them. Lord God, I thank you. There's nothing boring about God. You're amazing. You're exciting. You're awesome. And I pray you would just reveal, especially to the young people, how awesome and amazing you are this evening. In Jesus' name, amen. Lenore mentioned some of the places we've been, but one of the things that struck me the most in this past year, over the years we've seen a lot of miracles that the Lord's done, all kinds of miracles, but something really interesting happened in Mexico just about 2 months ago. We were there. We had about 2,000 people in a sanctuary, maybe only four times this size. I mean, it was crammed like sardines. And so it was about 2,000 people, a lot of pastors, a lot of church leaders. And it was the last day of the conference. And a friend of mine, who's a pastor in Kentucky, he got up to preach. When he finished preaching, he said, well, we're going to do something to close this conference. And he started talking about God's desire to heal his people and the power of God to heal. He made this statement. It's been ringing in my head ever since that meeting. He said, if we as a church believe in the power of God, or believe that God does miracles, but we never give him the opportunity to do those miracles or to heal by praying for people, that is really one of the most unloving things we could do. So in other words, there are a lot of people in the church world that say, well, I believe in the power of God, and if he wants to do something, he will. And so that's their way they approach church and the way they approach life. Well, God can do anything. If he wants to do something, he will. But other people approach it this way. God wants to do something, but he's wanting us to be the instruments through whom he touches people's lives. So we have the choice to be that instrument or not. And one of the main ways we can be that instrument is to just take a little bit of time and pray for each other. It's amazing the difference of what happens between praying for people or not praying for people. What we found is every time we pray for people, something tangible will happen. It may not everybody's touched in the same way, but somebody that needs to be healed physically will get healed. Somebody needs more freedom in their life. Something will happen. But if we never pray for anybody, there's a lot of things we found don't necessarily happen. So does that mean God's idle? No, it's his way of saying, you are my instruments, and I want to bless my people, but you've got to use your faith. What do we read in James? If anyone's sick, let him call the elders of the church, and they'll anoint him with oil. And then it says, and the prayer of faith will save the sick person, will raise them up, will heal them. So prayer is important. And it's important we pray for one another and we believe that God wants to touch one another. So this pastor got up at the end of the meeting and he shared this idea about if we really love everyone, we're going to pray for them. And they said, we're going to pray for every person in the room. And I panicked because there were 2,000 people in there. I thought, we are going to be here all day long. And we actually were there about 3 hours. There's about 8 people. And we saw more miracles in that meeting than we've seen in quite a while in a meeting. It's just like people that had chronic things for 20, 30 years, people that were deaf, people that had vision problems, people that had serious mobility problems, just we prayed for them and they were being healed. Hundreds of people were touched by the Lord. And I can't get that out of my mind. I'm like, what if we had not prayed? What if we hadn't taken the time to pray? Would all that have just happened? And honestly, the answer is no. But when we pray, we are exercising our faith. And when you allow prayer to take place, you are also exercising your faith. And God responds when people trust Him, when people ask Him for help, when people need help. He's a compassionate God. He wants to remind us, hey, I'm powerful, I love you, and I was there when you got saved, but I'm there every day for the rest of your life. And so that's really important, especially you young people are getting started in life. It's not like Jesus is there on Sundays or Jesus is there when we're in trouble. He is there every single day to touch us and do something amazing and extraordinary in life. No, Pastor Luke, I'm a big believer in this. No day in the Christian life has to be boring. Now, we are human, so sometimes we lose track and we can get bored. But if we stay in communion with God and walk with God, no day, I mean, that's great news. If you're just starting out, we were praying with some of the young people and the 14, 15 years old. I mean, isn't that great news? For the rest of your life, not a single day has to be boring. That is the truth, because there's nothing boring about God. God is amazing and wonderful and extraordinary. Why do we get bored? We disconnect maybe for a couple hours, maybe for a couple days, sometimes much longer. And life without God is no fun. Life with God is fascinating, stimulating, awesome. You can't wait to get out of bed in the morning. I met Jesus 58 years ago, and I tell you, it gets better every year walking with Jesus, because when we know Him, right, Robert? Life is not boring. So with that in mind, and as you get ready for us to pray for you, I just want to read you a quick story and then share a couple thoughts about it, and then we're going to pray. And God is going to touch us. Can anybody say amen? All right. Well, this is a story in Mark chapter 5, and Jesus is on his way to the house of a guy named Jairus because that man's daughter is sick. So he's asked Jesus to come, and while he's on his way, there's this big mob of people that's all around him, and this is what happens. It says, so Jesus went with him, that's Jairus, and a great multitude, Mark chapter 5, verse 24, a great multitude followed him and thronged him, or gathered around him. So he was getting pressed in this crowd. And it says there was a woman that she was bleeding internally for 12 years. She had just uncontrolled bleeding for 12 years. And she suffered many different things because she went to so many doctors. So that, in other words, that means they tried every kind of cure they could think of. And nothing worked. She had spent all the money she had, and she was no better, but in fact, she kept growing worse. Now, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his clothing, his garment, and for she said, if I could only touch his clothes, I will be made well. I'll get better. Immediately, the flowing of blood from her body was dried up, and she could feel in her body that she was healed of this sickness. And Jesus immediately knew in himself, he knew in himself that some power had gone out of him. So he turned around in the crowd and he said, "Who touched my clothes?" The disciple said to him, "Hey, there's a mob around you, pressing in on you, and you want to know who touched you?" Like that, what are you asking? But he looked around to see the woman who had done this thing. But the woman was fearful and trembling. Knowing what had happened to her, she came and fell down before Jesus, and she told him the whole story, the whole truth. And Jesus said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Be peaceful, go in peace, and be healed of your sickness." All right, so you got the picture. Jesus is walking through a huge crowd. Everybody's crushing up against him. A woman's been sick for 12 years. She has it in her head, if I just touch him, I'm going to get my miracle. And she touches him and immediately can feel in her body that whatever was wrong has gone away. Jesus doesn't see her, but he feels the power of God go out of his body. So maybe she came up behind him. But he can feel, which is an interesting thing, he could feel the power of God that he carried go out of him and touch somebody. He didn't pray for her. He didn't see her, didn't lay hands on her. But he felt it happen. So he turned around and said, "Who touched me?" And what he meant was he had just felt the faith that had touched him and felt the power in him that came out in response to that faith. And he says, "Somebody touched me in a different way. Somebody touched me in a way nobody else here is touching me. Who is it?" And the disciples are like, he's losing it because there's 1,000 people around. But Jesus said, "No, somebody touched me in a different way." And then he sees the woman and she comes scared to death that she's in trouble. Well, she wasn't in trouble. There's a couple things I want us to think about from this passage. And the first one is that your problem is not a disruption of God's program. So many people are afraid to ask because they feel like they're bothering God with their little problem. Just to let you know, your problem is not little to God. I mean, God cares about us more than anybody on earth cares about us. God loves us. He's fascinated, interested, focused on every detail of your life. This is something I don't think we ever wrap our minds around, but it's just true. You know, if we get down and discouraged, we got to remember God is aware of everything. He cares. He's interested. And even if he's in the middle of dealing with somebody else, your need does not disrupt him. This is so important because I can't count the thousands of people I've met in my life that say, "Well, you know, I don't want to bother God." You can't. It's not possible for you to bother God. He can handle all the problems of 8 billion people on this earth simultaneously. Nothing that you're going through is a bother to God, nor does it disrupt him or break his concentration. It's not possible. And yet we're so shy. We're like, you know, what does God care about a teenager? God cared about you before you were born. I mean, he said that to Jeremiah. Before you were even formed in your mom's womb, I knew you. I cared about you. I had a plan for you. So how would it be even remotely possible that Jeremiah is born, God's all interested in him when he's in his mom's womb, and then he's born, and then God's like, "Well, yeah, I got better things to do." No, from before your birth, God's preoccupied with you. And that's not just Jeremiah because he was a prophet. That's you, whatever you are, whatever you do in your life. That's one of the greatest things we can realize is, like, wow, I'm really important to God. And the devil says, no, you're not. You're nobody. You're one of 8 billion people. Don't bother him. Don't disrupt him. He's got bigger things to do. God's dealing with the war in Gaza. He's dealing with the war in Ukraine. He's dealing with world poverty. He's dealing with all kinds of things. You know, he's counting the days till he comes back. I mean, this is how a lot of people think. And they don't realize, no, in the middle of all that, he's preoccupied with you. He's thinking about you. He's excited about you. So you are never disrupting the plan of God. You're never disrupting whatever he's doing. God has a capacity we don't have humanly. I mean, I can handle about 3 people talking to me at the same time. Then I'm like, somebody's got to shut up because I can't concentrate on more than 2. And I've got 6 grandkids, and sometimes all 6 of them are like, Papa, Papa, I want to, and I'm like, okay, just stop. Give me some space. That's my standard line. I need space. Papa needs space. My brain is melting. 2 of you only can talk at the same time. Man, if I was God, the world would be in disastrous shape. I can only handle 2 grandkids, but 6 of them want to talk to me at once. Hey, there's 8 billion people in this world plus that all need God, and he can handle it. Doesn't bother him. Doesn't disrupt him. So never be shy to get in God's face. I don't mean that rudely. I just mean to get close to him and say, God, I got a situation here. God, I need encouragement here. God, I need a miracle here. God, I need to know that I'm loved. Never be shy about that. He has all of eternity. There's no time problem for him. And he has the capacity to be totally focused on you. So in this story, it looks to the disciples and it looks even to this woman like, oh no, we messed up what he was doing. Nothing was messed up in the plan. God has time for you and he's focused on you in this room tonight. So that's the first thing. Your problem's not a disruption of God's big plan. You know, I had to learn that lesson in this room about 17 years ago. Pastor Luke, maybe 1 or 2 of you were here the night my wife was healed in this church of something that we had prayed for more than 20 years. She had a hip deformity. You remember that, right? Yeah, she had a hip deformity that was excruciating pain for the first 20 years plus years of our marriage. We prayed for all those years for a miracle of healing. No change. We traveled out to the nations, prayed for the sick. People got healed. Somebody out of a wheelchair, somebody with a blind eye open, she didn't get healed. So, you know, what's the deal? Well, we keep praying. Because he's not bothered by us asking year after year. In fact, sometimes he, for whatever reason, things stretch out. A lot of people give up. Don't give up on what you need from God. So we're in the middle of this. We're doing a week-long revival. I guess that's what we called it, kind of a healing revival here. And I think we did 5 nights or 4 nights. And I'm not sure if it was the last night. But in those meetings, as when we were praying for the sick, and the Holy Spirit was giving words of knowledge. If you don't know what that is, that's when and it can happen with any of you where you're praying with somebody and something pops into your head and it's a need they have that you didn't know in the natural, but God just whispers in your ear. And so God was giving words of knowledge about the sicknesses people had, and people were being healed. And then I was standing up here. I think we had about 35 or 40 people in that service. And I said, oh, I just hear the Holy Spirit whispering someone's here with a pain in their hip. And I looked around. Nobody's raising their hand. And Lenora was sitting like right here or the second row. And she's like, ooh, pick me, pick me. No, she wasn't like that. But oh, yeah, they weren't. Yeah, thank you for getting new chairs, Luke. They were torture chairs back then. And so Lenora was being tortured. I didn't know that. I'm just preaching away and praying for people. And so she is in terrible pain. And unbeknownst to me, she prayed a very weird prayer, like a disrupt God prayer, but it's not a disruption. And her prayer was, God, you can speak to my husband to pray for me, because obviously he's not going to pray for me unless you speak to him. So all these, you know, God was touching people. Some people were being healed, and then this comes someone with pain in their hip. And I'm looking around, Lenore raised her hand, and being, a little slow, I said, no, it's not you, because I know about that. I said that right in front of everybody. I know. Oh, no, Robert. It's a miracle I wasn't struck down immediately. And I was serious. Luke, do you remember when I said, no, it can't be you. I know about that, so that would be cheating. Like, you can't cheat with words of knowledge. And so then I'm like, well, nobody else raising their hand. I know it's somebody here. I know. I heard this so clearly. Somebody here is paining their hip. The whole congregation just sitting there like staring at me like, your ministry's doomed. And then Lenore's just sitting there raising her hand. And so I was like, all right, I guess. Probably nothing going to happen because that's cheating. But let's give it a shot. And she was, it's one of the greatest miracles we've seen in our life happened right here in this sanctuary. She was miraculously healed that night. Now, I, as the preacher slash husband, felt like I was being disrupted by my wife, who's breaking the rules of how these things work. It wasn't a problem for God. God knew exactly what he was doing. God had time to, and why he chose that moment, we don't know. But he chose that moment in Maranatha Church. That's part of why I get super excited every time I come here, because we've seen mighty things just in this sanctuary here on Diamond in Anchorage. God is with you, and you never know what's going to happen on any given Wednesday or Sunday or prayer meeting or whenever you come together. And so it's up to us to come with expectation and say, hey, God, you've done it before. You'll do it again. Or, hey, God, I need you, and I know it's not a disruption. So, Jesus, here I am. You know, pick me. And he has already picked you for all sorts of things that we don't even know about. Here's another thing we need to keep in mind that's so important. You know, God's power to heal is always present. That does not mean every single person gets healed every single time. There's some mysteries about healing, but the power of God to heal is always present when believers gather together. How do we know that? Because the Spirit of God dwells in you and dwells in me. And the Spirit of God represents the life of Jesus, and he carries the power, the resurrection power of Jesus. So every time we get together, the power to heal, the power to save, the power to set free is in the room. We have to approach church that way, prayer meeting that way, Sunday morning that way. It doesn't mean we have to be ultra dramatic. It doesn't mean we have to, you know, do any kind of hype or anything like that. But it's just great to know that. It's great to know that that Jesus is here. And the power of God is real, and he's here wherever we go. He walks with me in the door and out the door, and the same for you. I don't have more of Jesus than Pastor Chris. I don't have more of the Holy Spirit than my friend Robert. Write that down, Robert. That's very important. We all have the Spirit of God. We all have a Jesus if we've asked him to be our Savior. And that means we all carry the power of the resurrection. We have different gifts from the Holy Spirit, but the basic reality of resurrection power, that's something inside of us. It is always present. Jesus didn't even pray for this woman. He just walked around with the power of the Holy Spirit in his life. And when somebody with faith believed that it might not be an interruption, they reached out and touched him, and the power just flowed. And one of the things I found out in all the years we've been preaching together, Lenore and I, for 45 years, in all those years, one of the things I found out is it's not hard. It's not like we have to work it up, or it doesn't require a lot of hype. You know, I speak the way I do when I preach because I'm excited. I'm not trying to make something happen, but I get excited about the truth of who Jesus is. But I've definitely learned that we don't have to force anything. We don't have to, you know, shake people and make sure, do you have enough faith? No, we just need to believe that Jesus is who he says he is and just partner with him and say, Jesus, would you come and do what you love to do, which is to love your people and heal your people, to touch your people? Would you come and do that, Jesus? And you know what he does over and over and over. He loves it when we trust him, when we need him. You know, I believe this very much. Healing is not the exception. It's the norm. There's a lot of mysteries, again, about healing. There's things we don't understand about delays. There's a lot of things we don't understand about the operation of faith. But one thing I'm sure of, healing is not the exception. It's normal in the kingdom of God. It's normal in God's family. It's something he loves to do. I've met many people, they think, well, you know, man, if you have one miracle every year in a church, you're doing pretty good. I think that's a catastrophe. God, I mean, people are in trouble. People's lives are wrecked. People are broken. People are sick. People are desperate. We need miracles on a regular basis. We need Jesus to meet us on a regular basis. I may not need a miracle of healing in a particular moment, but my emotions might need to be lifted. My marriage might need to be better than what it is. I might have a kid or a grandkid that's straying, and I need a miracle of God to bring their heart back. We need God in a million different ways at all times. And God intervening is not an exception. It is the norm. It is the way God wants your Christian life to play out, so that you, on a daily basis, can recognize God walking through life with you. I'm telling you, young people, if you remember anything from tonight, and I pray the Holy Spirit makes you remember this, that God wants you to experience him beside you every single day for the rest of your life. That's what Jesus gives you in salvation. Not just, you know, we get saved and then we don't know where he is. No, he lives inside of us and he's there. And he's there. And, you know, you can wake up in the morning and say, good morning, God. Because it's not like he's like, oh, somebody woke up. He's there on the scene, like sitting on the edge of the bed when you wake up and hoping that you'll remember that he's there. And not go through 9 hours of the day and say, oh, yeah, that's right, I forgot I'm a Christian. No, the most exciting thing about your day is that God is there when you walk through your day. That's the best part of your day. You know, it's better than going to any country, any amusement park, any church service, any sports experience. It's better than anything in this world. It's just that God is there and wants to interact with you and just wants to love you. It's awesome. Nobody will love you the way Jesus loves you. My wife loves me. I love her. We love each other more each year. But there's one thing we both understand. We can never love each other as much as Jesus loves us. And we don't get jealous of Jesus. We're like, yeah, Jesus, bring it on, you know. Neither of us can compete with Jesus. He's off the charts when it comes to loving your soul and comforting you. So it's not an exception. It's normal. It just flows out of the fact of who Jesus is. That's what happened. She touched him, and power just went out of his body because it was normal. Whenever someone in need by faith touches him, it's just normal for his grace and his love to flow. And then I want to look at one more thing before we take a few minutes to pray and give God opportunity to touch us. And that's at the end of the story when he turns around to see who had done this, and he sees this woman, and I'll read those last two verses again. It said, but the woman, afraid and trembling, knowing what had happened to her. Now, that's really strange. She got healed by the power of God. It says, knowing what happened to her, she was afraid and trembling. That is a picture of about how most people feel around God. They're like, if God puts his eyes on me, I'm probably in trouble. So he turns around and says, who touched me? And she sees her, and her first thought is, I'm in trouble. Now, she was miraculously healed, and she knew it. But she didn't feel worthy of being close to God. So when Jesus looks at her, she immediately draws back and starts trembling, actually shaking, because as most people do, when God has their attention, they assume it's to ream them out, to tell them all the ways they messed up, instead of just to say, I'm so happy you got healed. You know, young people, when this is one thing I went through because I was a Christian teenager, and it's like the devil's the one who loves to tell us all the ways we messed up and why God probably isn't listening to us because of our mistakes. And we just fight this, you know, year after year, like, God must be mad. Look at what I did. He must be disgusted. You know what? Jesus is just like wound up wanting to tell you how much he loves you. He knows the stuff we do wrong. He has a way for us to get free from that stuff. But it's not like we have to hide this from him in order for him to heal us or touch us or care for us. He knows all that stuff. But he loves us anyway. And this is so wonderful. Look how he responds to this shaking, trembling woman. And he said to her, daughter. That's very interesting. He didn't say woman. He didn't say, Israelite girl, Mrs. So-and-so. He said daughter. That's really interesting. That's the heart of God the Father speaking to that woman through the Son, Jesus. Daughter. That's intimate relationship. That's closeness. That is a statement of saying, before anything else said, that's a statement, I love you. That's really the first words out of his mouth. When he said daughter, and she's there trembling, what his first words are really, I love you. Not, why'd you touch me? Not some theological point. Daughter, I love you. You know what our shame about our weaknesses and sins, they create this feeling of unworthiness. And then if we feel ashamed to come to God, or we feel like we're not worthy to come to God, you know what that does? It feeds unbelief. So when we're ashamed of our failures, or when we don't understand that we're really clean by the blood of Jesus, this sense of unworthiness comes, and we don't dare approach God. And if we don't dare approach God, we're not able to have faith. And so we end up being prisoners of unbelief because we don't know how much God really loves us. And so that's really the first, you know, there's some people that their idea is the first thing you got to deal with is help these people deal with their sin and confront their sin. And I do believe we have to deal with sin and we have to confront sin. But the first thing we need to know if we're ever going to conquer sin is that we are son, we are daughter, no matter what, through Jesus Christ. And nobody can take that love relationship away. Shame and unworthiness partnered with unbelief are met and conquered by intimacy with the love of God. And that's why I use the word daughter, because he saw she was fearful. She didn't feel worthy. She thought she was in trouble with God. And he wanted to conquer that in her. And so he said, I love you. Daughter. Daughter, your faith, it's amazing. She's shaking and feeling unworthy, but then he says to her, no, it's actually your faith was the means by which you became well. You did good, daughter. You touched me. You believed me. You gave me a chance to tell you how much I love you. That's what it means. It's not some hyped up kind of belief or like I've never had a doubt in my mind. It's just that she was willing to give God opportunity to love her And so he says, daughter, your faith has made you well. You weren't bleeding for 12 years because you were cursed, because God didn't care, because of some thing in your past that the devil's been telling you that's why you can't get healed. No, I love you. You're my daughter. You actually had mountain-moving faith in this moment, and that has made you well. So, listen to these words. So go in peace. You know, whether anybody has a miracle or not, receives that, and I believe some of us God really wants to touch physically. But you know what's most important when we leave this prayer meeting is that we go in peace, knowing that we are good with God. God wants that for you. Pastor Luke, I've just felt that burden every time I thought of this service last couple weeks. I just felt just overwhelmed by the love of God for the members of your church and how much he wants us to just be at peace, that he is present and that he cares. So we're going to put some worship music on. And what I want to do is, you don't have to, but I really like if we can, if you would allow us, I would just like to take a moment to pray with everyone in the room that's willing. So I'm not going to say, if anybody is sick or wants prayer, feel free to come. Because, hey, I know how it is, young people. It's like, you know, getting you to come to the altar is like pulling teeth. So I'm just going to, tell you all to come up to the altar and let us pray for you, because God really, really wants to bless you. And you know, people that come to the altar fastest are older people, because they live long enough to know they desperately need God. Like, I go up to the altar all the time because I need God. And the older I get, the more I know I need God. That doesn't mean they're the only ones. Some of us who have been here more than 20 years, we still could use another prayer and touch from heaven. You have a list? All right. My wife will be praying for you over on that side. Now, people with a list, I'm just teasing you. It's wonderful to have members of the body of Christ, and we know each other for 25 years. And your smiling face has been there since the first time we came, and I appreciate that. Faithfulness in the house of God. I don't know how many years, but from pretty close to when we started coming. But anyway, lest we start going down old home week lane, let's all stand together. And, a lot of times we don't have to use anointing oil, but sometimes I feel like the Lord directs that we do. And so I'm going to ask my wife to come up. I'm going to ask Chris and Lori Miller and Robert and Tina Kennerson. And we're just all going to put a little, we're not going to dump oil on you. Don't panic. We'll just put a little oil on our finger tip, so that just representing the person of the Holy Spirit. And maybe we'll just turn the music, Renita, up just a tiny bit. Yeah, that's awesome. That thing weighs a ton. All right. And we're just going to take a moment to pray. And then as this worship goes on, I would really love it if all of, just everybody came up and lined up. So, Jesus, I pray, and you can start coming while I pray. Jesus, I just pray right now that your word will be realized in the lives of your precious people, Lord, as they come forward in faith to receive prayer for healing. And we just thank you that you're going to touch them. And I call upon you, Spirit of God, to do whatever needs to be done. If someone needs a miracle of healing, then I ask you to touch and heal them. If someone needs encouragement, encourage them. If someone needs a breakthrough in their family, I ask you to do that. And, for those of us that are praying, we don't need to have prolonged prayer for a long period of time, just as short or long as you feel. But we just want to give people a chance. And it's not in the length of our words, but it's in the sincerity of our heart that God touches people. So, on that note, everybody that's willing, come. And you know young people don't want to drag you up if you don't come willingly. So please come, because we love you and we want to bless you. And just line right up straight across this area. Yeah, all the way across. And anybody else that's willing for us to pray. And we're just going to go right down the line and pray for you. I do just want to say thank you all for giving us the privilege of praying with you. That's a real honor for us, and we love you.
Amen. I hope you guys received a touch from the Lord tonight. I was thinking of singing a song, but can you just imagine it with me instead? No, it'd be better. I don't know if you remember, Pass me not, O gentle Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling, do not pass me by. Savior, Savior. It's so much better when we sing it, isn't it? But he knows how to touch our needs. And so I hope you'll know that about Jesus. The one thing that always strikes me about those miracle stories is often Jesus is on his way to something important and somebody just has the audacity to climb a tree or to reach out and touch his garment or to cry out in a loud voice, and everything stops for that moment. I mean, if you read the first part of the story, you find out Jairus is the synagogue leader. Okay, and this woman is unclean. She's not even supposed to be going near religious circumstances, and Jesus stops to touch her need. And I hope you'll grab a hold of that there's nobody more important than anyone else. When you have a need, you come and call upon the Lord and he meets you in it. And so I think that's the message that came through tonight, is that, man, your need is not a disruption to heaven's plan. So it's part of it. Amen. Thank you, Kelly and Lenora, for sharing today, and thanks for being our missionaries. I know we don't own you, but we're so glad to call you our missionaries, and we're so glad that you're doing this great work all around the world. And so if you think of them, pray for them. I know that they want to see God touch and minister, and he is all over the place, and we're going to see some great things and hear some great testimonies of what God's done. Amen. All right, let's stand together tonight, and let's seal our service with prayer. And Father, thank you, Lord, for the breaks. We're asking, Jesus, that you go before them, that you strengthen them for every opportunity that you're bringing them to. We pray, Lord, that you would go before them and meet the need ahead of time and prepare the hearts of the people that need to be ministered to, pastors, leaders, those who are church people all across the globe, those who are unbelievers and don't yet know you, Lord, those that are anticipating a miracle. Some are wondering, does God still work? Is God real? And you demonstrate through your mighty power that you are again and again. And I just pray, Jesus, that you would continue that great work. And Lord, for all of us tonight who've sought your face and asked for your touch, Lord, even if we didn't feel something in this moment, Lord, we know that you're a God who hears and meets our need. And I'm just praying, Jesus, that you would make that apparent to us. Maybe as we go about our business and all of a sudden we realize that that shoulder doesn't hurt anymore, or that circumstance hasn't come up in a long, long time, that we recognize that you've touched us, Lord. We give you thanks and praise for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 God bless you. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for joining us today. If this ministry has impacted you, we would love to hear about it. You're welcome to message us at akmaranatha.com/contact or message us on Facebook at Maranatha Full Gospel Fellowship. We pray you are blessed by the message and have a wonderful week.